ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय मैत्रेय उवाच स इत्थं लोकगुरुणा विश्वक्सेनेन विश्वजित् अनुशासित आदेशम् शिरसा जग्रहे हरे मैत्रेय उवाच स इत्थं लोकगुरुणा विश्वक्सेनेन विश्वजित् अनुशासित आदेशम् शिरसा जग्रहे हरे मैत्रेय उवाच Maitreya said, Saha, he, itam, thus, Loka Guruna, by the Supreme Master of all people, Vishvaksenena, by the Personality of Godhead, Vishvajit, the conqueror of the world, Maharaj Prithu, Anushasitaha, being ordered, Adesham, instructions, Shirasa, on the head, Jagrahe, accepted, Hare, of the Personality of Godhead. Translation. The great saint Maitreya continued, My dear Vidura, in this way Maharaj Prithu, the conqueror of the entire world, accepted the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on his head. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One should accept the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by bowing down at the lotus feet of the Lord. This means that anything spoken by the Personality of Godhead should be taken as it is, with great care and attention, and with great respect. It is not our business to amend the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or make additions or alterations, as it has become a custom for many so-called scholars and swamis who comment on the words of Bhagavad Gita. Here is the practical example of how to accept the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as is shown by Prithu Maharaj. This is the way to receive knowledge through the Parampara system. I'd like to cover the next verse also, text 18. So whoever's the verse writer, it's text 19 for tomorrow. Translation, as King Indra was standing by, he became ashamed of his own activities and fell down before King Prithu to touch his lotus feet. But Prithu Maharaj immediately embraced him in great ecstasy and gave up all envy against him for his having stolen the horse meant for the sacrifice. Purport. There are many cases in which a person becomes an offender to the lotus feet of a Vaishnava and later becomes repentant. Here also we find that although the King of Heaven Indra was so powerful that he accompanied Lord Vishnu, he felt himself a great offender for stealing Prithu Maharaj's horse that was meant for sacrifice. An offender at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is never excused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many instances illustrating this fact. Ambarish Maharaj was offended by Durvasa Muni a great sage and mystic yogi, and Durvasa also had to fall down at the lotus feet of Ambarish Maharaj. Indra decided to fall down at the lotus feet of King Prithu, but the king was so magnanimous, a Vaishnav, that he did not want Maharaj Indra to fall down at his feet. Instead, King Prithu immediately picked him up and embraced him. And both of them forgot all the past incidents. Both King Indra and Maharaj Prithu were envious and angry with each other, but since both of them were Vaishnavas, or servants of the Lord, it was their duty to adjust the cause of their envy. This is also a first-class example of cooperative behavior between the Vaishnavas in the present days. However, because people are not Vaishnavas, they fight perpetually amongst one another and are vanquished without finishing the mission of human life. There is a great need to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement in the world so that even though people sometimes become angry and malicious toward one another because of their being Krishna conscious, such rivalry, competition, and envy can be adjusted without difficulty. Om Gyana Timarandasya Gananjana Sarakaya Chakshana Nivitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kata Amrayam Tadati Sva Putantika. In both of these verses, the Vaishnava quality of humility is being showcased by Maharaj Prithu's behavior. How he places himself before the Supreme Lord, and how he places himself before an offender to himself. Humility and humility. There are following, based upon the support of that humility, there are other qualities that he's exhibiting also. The message of text 17 is Adesham, the instructions of the personality of Godhead. Nice phrase. He carries it upon his head. It's not like a hat. A hat's like a decoration, and something that you carry upon your head is like, like sometimes we see in India a big bundle of something. Rather than carrying it like this, they carry it like this. So it's something that is a, on the one hand, we can think of it as like a burden, but it's an occupation. It determines what you do and where you go. It's the responsibility of that's carrying something on your head. Like Prabhupada created ISKCON, and then one carries that responsibility upon one's head to continue it. One instruction Prabhupada gave is, after my departure, even if you don't expand, at least maintain what I've given you. maintain it very nicely. Prabhupada explained that commonly a wealthy person or successful person, they, through their will, they bestow their wealth and the fruit of their success to their children, the next generation. And the children or their children's children will live off of that asset, that wealth, that success, and then gradually they start, the next generation or later, they start selling. So Prabhupada said, please don't do that. In order to maintain what I've given you, don't sell part of it to maintain it. Remember this instruction specifically with in Vrindavan. They were having difficulty maintaining the Vrindavan temple. And one of the things that they decided to do was there was a water tank on top of the roof of the Gurukul building. So they're going to sell the water tank to maintain the project. And a couple of Prabhupada disciples that knew what Prabhupada's position was on this, they were very disturbed. And they took responsibility to find the money other than selling the assets of the property. To maintain something, to create something is take a lot. To maintain something takes more than a lot. Takes a lot more. And that's like, you know, establish standards in the presence of a great acharya, and then to maintain standards. It, like the standards of the deity worship. Just share this with you from our GBC meeting. In the area of strategic planning, that's the term that we're using, for planning our future, we want to take better care of the devotees. That's a nice intention. So there's a large group of people from all over the world that are working on, they call it the devotee care. They have CDs, they have a website, they have publications, they have plans, they have weekly conference calls. They're traveling around the world and offering support, suggestions, training, whatever the local people need to help them become better at devotee care. So as that's been going on and going on for a few years now and growing, that we have another one that just evolved, and it's called Krishna Care. Because the deity worship standards have, so we're taking care of the devotees, but what about the deities? So deity care or Krishna care, and you know, how collectively how to bring the standards up again to what Prabhupada gave. And it's anyway, it, part of it is people don't know, but a larger part of it is there isn't the, at least they don't see the resource. Manpower, primarily. Prabhupada said this, and there's reason for his saying this, because historically it has happened like that. That a great personality, great acharya, for the purpose of his followers and their purification and upliftment, he establishes deities. So Prabhupada said in his presence, do not think after I've gone that, oh, Prabhupada has given us this burden to maintain on standard the worship of the deity. That's a bad thought, not a warm thought, it's a dark thought. It's an opportunity to serve. And whatever else one might think of, distributing books or keeping the temple clean or receiving the people that come or whatever the services are that there may be. It's taking, it's preserving the legacy of our founder Acharya. And when that's done with devotion, it's a joy. Maintaining the teachings, maintaining the standards, maintaining the practices, maintaining purity. That's our life in devotion. So here there's some the references. Anushasita Adi Adesham Shirasa Jagrahe Hare. Prithu has just received a series of instructions from the Personality of Godhead, Hare, or Hari. And the vocative becomes Hare. It's nice. The energy of the Lord is Hara, and He is Hare. So, Hara and Hari. So the vocative of both is Hare. You got it? Radha, when you call Radha, it becomes Radhe. When you call Hari, it becomes Hare. You call Hara, it becomes Hare. So that same word Hare is the way of calling or the vocative of both the energy of the Lord and the Lord. So for our edification, it's very clear. We're calling the energy of the Lord Hare Krishna. Radhe. Hare. So here it's Hare calling or of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jagrahe, accepted, shirasa, on the head. What did he accept? He accepted the instructions of the Personality of Godhead. He's carrying the instructions of the Personality of Godhead on his head. It's the position of humility. You place your feet at the head of the Personality of Godhead, is what Prabhupada is saying here. Bowing down at the lotus feet of the Lord. I take the subordinate position. This is in the superior position. The instructions. My life is governed by these instructions of the Personality of Godhead. And my life is to carry them out. And by that method, the messages are realized. That's like, besides carrying them out, fulfilling the Lord's desire, the reciprocation is we get realization of the Lord through the medium of that service, fulfilling the instructions. And the whole thing breaks down. If, as Prabhupada is saying in the purport, that's not the system that's being followed, rather people are interpreting this means that. And I attended a home program once, and don't know how much to edit out of this. It was a Bengali program. Bengali family was hosting it, so they invited their Bengali friends. And in Bengal, it's been the practice, you know, following Dr. Radhakrishna and some of the other people, just people speculate their brains out. So, you know, I gave a class on something, and then, you know, question time, so the person said, could you give different renderings of this verse, and, you know, the verse that I was just speaking about? I said, I'm sorry, we don't do that. We express it as it is. Not this means that, but this means this. know, because as Prabhupada has shared, when physician made a commentary on Bhagavad Gita and said the Kurukshetra battlefield is the operating table, and the Pandavas means the doctor, and the Kauravas means the patient, and something like that. Wow. We don't interpret. And there's so many other, don't surrender to Krishna, surrender to something else. Don't think of Krishna, think of something else. As their commentary on Bhagavad Gita. This means that. Krishna's just kind of slow. He doesn't really know what he means to say. Or it's not to say what he means. What he means to say is something he didn't say. This means that. Well, if Krishna's slow and doesn't know how to say what he means, then don't quote him. Write your own book. But Krishna knows what he means to say. And he says it. So this means this, and that means that. Not this means that. So the method is in humility, in a mood of service, try one's best to understand precisely what the instruction is, as Arjuna did. If you're not clear what the instruction is, then ask. And if you don't understand after asking, if necessary, ask again. Get clarity as to what the instruction is, and then Krishye Vachanam Tava, I'm ready. As you speak, I'm ready to do. In that mood of humility. And similarly, in the next verse, the mood of humility is being exhibited by Prithu. And here comes King Indra. He's in this mood of carrying the instructions of the Supreme Lord on his head. And here comes King Indra, who came with Lord Vishnu, who instructed Prithu. And King Indra, he's in this, as Prabhupada is saying, he's a very exalted person. Even he makes mistakes, we should regard him as the Lord regards him. He's accompanying him, and he's in the Lord's association. He's learned something. He made a mistake. And so he comes before Prithu. He just, he not only stole a horse, but he prevented, by the purpose of the stealing was to prevent the yajna from happening. And in fact, it didn't happen. So it's like, you want to do some religious activity and somebody comes in and disrupts the whole process of the religious activity by stealing the essential part of whatever that yajna is. Not nice. And to amplify that a little bit, Prabhupada expresses that both King Indra and Maharaj Prithu were envious and angry with each other. Indra was envious. He was afraid. He's got this thing. He has an impure heart. So he has this thing that says, oh, he's trying to take my position. So let me try to stop that. Not good, but that's par for Indra. So now what about King Prithu? He's Shaktivesh Avatar. How come he has envy and anger in his heart? It's something like Dhruva Maharaj, who after the murder of his stepbrother Anupam, he was very angry. And he went with all of his army ready to destroy the whole Yaksha race. Not good. but just a little indication from the brahmanas, and he was checked. When he began destroying them, Kuvera came and checked him, and he stopped. So these bad qualities, envy is a bad quality, anger is a bad quality, but we have our verse from Bhagavad Gita, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadureva samantavya. The circumstance was such that Prithu became influenced by this undesirable quality, but he immediately gave it up. Immediately he gave it up by the submission of Indra. We can say the position of Maharaj Ambarish, at least in this regard, is superlative or superior to the position of Prithu, because Prithu was angry and Ambarish wasn't at all angry. But supposing even a great personality, there's influence of this quality, very quickly can be given up. The capacity to completely, there's two terms, forgive, but Prabhupada doesn't even use forgive, it's forget. In the series of quotes that I read previous time when I was visiting on cooperation during our GBC meeting, we read some quotes on to inspire us and principles that Prabhupada enshrined. One of them is cooperation. It's also mentioned here in this purport. So Prabhupada uses the term bury the hatchet. There's, you know, this person, that person arguing, fighting, warring, you know, and like they've got this position, they've got that position, and deeply entrenched. Prabhupada's instruction was bury the hatchet. I don't know where he picked up that phrase, because most people from India that I've asked, they don't know what that means. American people know what that means, because the American Indians had a declaration of war. They threw down their hatchet, and the other one threw down his hatchet, and then they retreated, because that meant this is a declaration of war. Like in the European expression was throw the gauntlet. They'd have a glove, they take off their glove and throw down their glove, like, you know, let's have it. So the peace message is take the hatchet and ceremoniously dig a hole, put the hatchet in the hole, and bury the hatchet. No war. So bury the hatchet. And so it's one thing to bury the hatchet, and it's another thing to forget where you buried it. Bhadri Narayan likes to express that all the time. That, okay, let's not just bury the hatchet, let's forget where we buried it. Like, don't go back and dig up some old stuff after you've forgiven someone, and then, like, hold on to it. Yeah, but, you know, remember what they did? They did blah, blah. So forgiving all the way means forget, because you might forgive somebody, but I'm not going to forget. I'm going to watch my backside, because, you know, this person's dangerous. Forget, like squeaky clean, completely gone. That's what Prithu was capable of. And here's this person that he's forgiving. Yes, he's exalted, but his behavior was very bad, and he's completely forgiven, and it's forgotten. And Prabhupada explains, as servants of Lord Vishnu or Vaishnavas, it was their duty to adjust the cause of their envy or their enmity or their issue or whatever thing. As servants of Lord Vishnu or as Vaishnavas, it was their duty to adjust the cause of their envy. So I'll take it one more step after this, but holding something in one's heart towards another, it's the duty of the Vaishnava to not do that. Let go. Don't hold on. As you hold on, and you're the one that suffers, not just like you feel bad, but it's hurtful in your life. It's hurtful in the dynamic of social interaction and the community of devotees and so on. And who can do that except the person that's holding it? It's a duty of a Vaishnava to free oneself of this. And then Prabhupada takes it another step, the same step that he takes in those verses or those exchanges that I read on cooperation. This is also a first class example of cooperative behavior between Vaishnavas. And down there is a great need to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement in the world. And Prabhupada says in those quotes, so we can't, spend our time and waste our time and get sucked into the whole dynamic of the age of Kali, quarrel over something, and completely lose the sense of the higher purpose, our mission, our mission of life, and propagating that mission of life for others. Instead, get sucked into the Kali Yuga program of quarreling. It's not. We can take inspiration from this nice example, is what Prabhupada is saying. It's a first class example of cooperative behavior. I don't think there's any one of us that would raise their hand to say, I'm a perfect person, please raise your hand. Who's going to say that? So each of us are imperfect, and that's one thing that we share. Another thing that we share is we're trying to make spiritual progress. Even in different degrees, we're all trying to make spiritual progress. So our position in relationship with one another is to recognize, as I am less than perfect, another person is also less than perfect. That's given. I don't fault them for their being less than perfect, because they're striving to go to Krishna, to please Krishna, to come to that position where their imperfections are left behind and the spirit of serving Krishna is prominent. It predominates over those imperfections. That's how we can overcome our own shortcomings, is the power, the potency, the purity of devotional service. So I'm serving side by side with another person or a group of other persons who are less than perfect beings. That's okay, they're less than perfect beings. Like me, they're trying to overcome that by the process of devotional service. Let me assist. This is cooperation. You place our individual and our collective mission, and propagating that opportunity, giving others the opportunity to do the same. We put that in the priority position, and the other thing, we work cooperatively under the authority structure that Prabhupada gave us. That's our life. That's the message, it's summarized, of what Prabhupada was saying in these 3.5 pages of quotes. life is too short. How can we become absorbed in, preoccupied with, etc., with the shortcomings of our neighbor? That's not Krishna consciousness. Or our own shortcomings. Strive to take the human mission, purpose of life, and carry it upon your head and do your best to fulfill it. If someone else makes a mistake, as we would want to be forgiven for our mistakes, forgive someone for their mistakes and move forward towards that higher purpose. There's a great need to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement in the world so that even though people sometimes become angry and malicious toward one another, because of their being Krishna conscious, such rivalry, competition, and envy can be adjusted without difficulty. Okay, any discussion? Yes. Nice topic.
Very illuminating discussion this morning. I have two questions. My first question regarding the point of not leaving the institution, that being an instruction of Srila Prabhupada's continuous ISKCON. I've heard from senior Vaishnavas, particularly in my beginning days in Krishna consciousness, although it's not supposed to be the case, or it is not the case, that the institutional activities are different or divergent from the missionary activities. Sometimes it appears that the two are different. The institution's got their idea and then there's the mission. So my question is, I've heard like this before when I first joined the movement.
I never heard Prabhupada say like that.
I've never heard Prabhupada say like this either. But in addressing a doubt that may come in our heart or when asked this type of question, it may be presented, Srila Prabhupada left, Gaudiya Math in order to carry on the mission of his spiritual master or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when the institution was getting, somewhat convoluted, let's say. So how would we address that doubt when I've heard devotees ask like this also, and where it appears that the institution's going somewhere else,
well,
and the mission is being obstructed?
One way, there's probably multiple ways, but one way is during Srila Prabhupada's life, here's two. Did he make such a distinction? For those who were his followers, did he make such a distinction? Did he want us to make such a distinction? To discriminate in this way, separate the mission from the institution? And then the second part is, there are plenty of examples where he said just the opposite. Example, example, example of just the opposite. So maybe a third thing is, even when Prabhupada moved in the direction of establishing ISKCON, he reached out. I mean, there's ample evidence of his reaching out and inviting participation, cooperative under one flag. Not that now I have my own institution, you can come and serve me, but work cooperatively under the banner of Bhaktisiddhanta. I've been through this discussion before, so it can go on for some time. During Prabhupada's lifetime, when there were incidents like this one, the separating the mission from the institution, Prabhupada, instructed the opposite. It's in part of that. I'll send it to you, this cooperation thing, so you have it. It's not exhaustive, but it's the issue that you're raising is right there. There's a letter It's something that apparently happened in Australia, Madhavisa. There's a letter to Madhavisa. Even they've gone away, you know, invite them back, but they have to work under the authority of the GBC. And then, you know, writing letters to, apparently to some of the people that had left, saying, you know, please give up and that mood and come back. Second question.
Hare Krishna. Regarding the second topic, particularly in our Vaishnava relationships, when there's some envy or some argument, personal experience is that I want to forget, but there may be a lack of trust in the other personality. So although there's a semblance of forgiveness and some cordial relationship is maintained, there's an inability to fully forget because one does not fully trust the other person is going to give up the mentality. Like in Indra's case, Indra, as an example to us, is repeatedly doing things. So then one may, I'm saying like that, one may have some distrust and it makes it difficult for them to completely bury the hatchet and forget where it's at.
Well, it's several things. One, it takes a great personality to not only forgive the book, but to forget. It's a measure of one's greatness. And so, back to what you gave as an example, I may not be such a great person. Okay. Recognize the shortcoming is over here, not over there. And then another is, let me invest in the relationship in such a way that trust can be restored. Because I'm not there, let me invest in the relationship in ways that I have the capacity to do so. It's at my level that I can do so. And third is, there are some persons that just to the core, they're untrustworthy. And we don't go there because they're untrustworthy. We don't give, something very valuable to a foolish person who will just destroy it. Some persons have demonstrated again and again they're incorrigible. So we don't disrespect them for that, but we don't invest trust in the dynamic of that exchange, you know, inter close personal exchanges with them. That's discretion. It's proper discretion. Anything else? Yes, Jitendriya.
Hare Krishna. I was thinking, I think Prabhupada was in L.A. on a morning walk, and he saw the deities, and then he saw the deities, and then I guess they went on a morning walk, and the devotee said, Prabhupada, the deities look very beautiful today. And Prabhupada says, yes, this is what I'm worried about, because when I leave, the standard may go down. But, you know, do you remember reading something like that?
No, but it makes sense that he would say that.
Yeah. Another thing is, when you said bury the hatchet, there's also another expression to that is smoke a peace pipe. So that just kind of came to my mind.
Okay.
We don't
you got
smoke.
Another one?
We don't smoke pipes, but, you know.
Yeah, we don't. We don't bury hatchets either. Go ahead.
But then I remember, I think it was Prabhupada saying that nothing follows a person closer than their reputation. And then we have a system of checks and balances, you know. So forgive, forget, but you know it resonates in the mind. I remember Krishnasmarnam giving a class like that. He said that, you know, Kali Yuga is surcharged with nescience, so there's all kinds of negative behavior. so that's reinforced, and the good qualities are, you know, diminishing more and more. So it's just it's really a rough call on a lot of people's parts, you know, on judging character and stuff like that. You know, the negativity is just constantly reinforced just by the media and everything else, but, you know. Well, then I remember Bhaktitirtha Swami saying, he says, when there's a problem with another person, always kind of reflect and think that you may be the cause of that problem. You know, like, you know, take it on yourself to think, well, maybe I should have done something better or something like that. I don't know. It's one of the things that is kind of posted downstairs. And then I remember Prabhupada also saying, forgive the minor offenses of others and just, you know, go on and stuff like that. Like if we can't forgive, we can't go on. I remember hearing something like that. Oh, and then as far as trust goes.
As far as trucks go?
Trust.
Trust, okay.
Yeah, I think I remember Prabhupada saying it. If a person can't control their senses, they can't be trusted.
Yeah.
So all these things just kind of came to mind when you were...
Good. You got little notes there, too.
Well, you know, I mean, that's what we're here for, to learn.
Good.
Hare Krishna. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have two questions. You're making the point that we don't interpret Krishna's words for... This means that we present it as it is. Sometimes when we're talking to Indian people or just people in general, you know, they ask, why do you have this commentary if you're presenting the Bhagavad Gita as it is? Why do I need a commentary? Why don't I just read Krishna's verses in Sanskrit or directly and try to understand them? So how would you counter something like that?
People ask you that question, or you have that doubt yourself? Okay. Good question. Prabhupada was once invited to Tottenhurst, the place where John Lennon's estate was. He was invited to stay for a whole month because they wanted to, like, check him out. And they had previously checked out Maharishi in Transcendental Meditation. So, but they had some appreciation, especially because George had some appreciation in Prabhupada. So he was staying there. And they had some discussions, and they're recorded. And in the course of those recorded discussions, a refrain that they kept asking, and Prabhupada answered, and they kept asking and kept asking, was, how do we know what the best rendering of Bhagavad Gita is? Except Krishna, except Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's word. How do I know what's the best rendering of that message of Bhagavad Gita? So, the showstopper, when Prabhupada gave different explanations, finally he said, he turned it around and asked him, how do you know, how would you know what the best rendering of Bhagavad Gita is? If you find someone that all they do is think about Krishna, talk about Krishna, live with Krishna, serve Krishna, their whole life is Krishna, 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 that person is going to know Krishna. So the commentary isn't this means that. It's like if someone knows you and you say such and such, I may not have access to ask you, but someone that knows you intimately, when they said such and such, what was the meaning? Because I may take it that such and such means something over here, but it might mean that over there, so how do I know? The commentary is taking the big picture of the whole body of wisdom in relation to Krishna from the acharyas in disciplic succession who are intimately related with Krishna, and it's not interpretation, this means that, it's elucidation, because they know Krishna's heart. But like, let's just take surrender unto me. Interpretation is don't surrender to Krishna, but something else. And the commentary is to help one understand how to best surrender to Krishna. And how does that statement fit in with all the other body of statements about surrender to Krishna? Because I'm the reader, I may not have had that experience of the great body of literature that speak about the principle of surrender and how it might apply. How to look at it from different angles, but the same one thing. It's surrender unto Krishna. And then what happens? I may have a doubt, because that's in the verse. If I surrender to Krishna, I'm not doing some other things instead of just surrendering unto Krishna. What about those other things that are also duties, some obligations? Am I not going to get a reaction for neglect of other things that are also important? So Krishna explained. So it's explained in the commentary. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. Your sins are eliminated by that act of surrendering unto Krishna. So one need not worry. Krishna is addressing that doubt, anticipating that Arjuna or somebody today might have that doubt. So it's just taking that point, it's not interpreting, it's expanding in the whole body of wisdom and the intimate understandings of the previous acharyas. In fact, that's how Prabhupada made his commentary. He had the commentary of the great acharyas and, you know, went through text by text what they had to say and expressed it in language that a contemporary person can understand, because he knew his audience, he knew their language, he knew, you know, what the concepts they were working with, and etc. So that's what the purport is for. It's exposition, it's not interpretation. And it's a huge difference.
Maharaj.
So you had a second question?
I did. My second question was in relation to what you were saying at the beginning of the class, that it is much more difficult to maintain than to create.
Yeah.
And I found that to be very interesting, because I was thinking that maybe one reason that is the case is because we don't like to take responsibility.
Yeah.
And maintenance requires accepting responsibility. But we live in a culture where responsibility and things like that are not taught, or you're not taught to appreciate those things. So when we come to devotion, how do we learn to accept and appreciate that quality?
That's a great question. By associating with those that have that quality is the best way. We develop qualities like those with whom we associate. So to associate with those that have that quality is the best way. And to associate with persons that have that quality, you know, it helps a lot to be respectful. So or like shrink it down, it's through the quality of goodness. One learns best through the quality of goodness. So promote in your life, in one's life, we can train others, promote in your life the quality of goodness in different ways, and that will help all around. And then in that frame of goodness, something that's surcharged spiritually, chanting of the holy name, hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and then, you know, spiritual reality starts to open, not just goodness. And from that, good qualities will come. And when the good qualities come, the bad qualities are diminished. When the light comes on, the darkness dissipates. So it's like, where's that switch to turn the light on? Goodness, directly spiritual sound vibration, chanting, hearing. Light comes on. Darkness is dispelled. The influences of the age of Kali are diminished within one's person and within one's interpersonal interactions. It's very challenging to, you know, like Jitendra was referring to, in this age, the phrase that Prabhupada uses is the atmosphere is surcharged with opposition. Like swimming upstream in the rainy season when the river is going faster than you can swim upstream. So though you're swimming upstream, you're moving downstream. It's very difficult. So we need shelter. We need to take shelter of Krishna. We can have empowerment from Krishna's mercy. And don't be inattentive. Just continue being attentive to receiving Krishna's mercy and making best effort sincerely. Sure, one.
He said actions speak louder than precept. And I've also heard your actions speak so loud I can't hear a word you're saying. Have you heard those before?
No. I heard the first one. I couldn't follow the second one.
Your actions speak so loud I can't hear a word you're saying.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay.
And then.
Never heard that one.
What's that?
I never heard that one.
Oh, okay. Well, you kind of.
Huh?
It's kind of self-explanatory, I guess.
Okay, one of the. Okay.
And then as far as the swimming upstream, you know, if we're not swimming upstream, we're just being carried away by the modes of nature. That's the analogy of that phrase that I came across.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.